Good morning, everyone. How are we doing?
Good. Mediocre.
I like one at least honest person in the audience. There you go. Well, welcome, 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 everybody. This is a milestone this morning. What milestone is it, right? We are finishing our little section on trials. So hopefully everybody's going, I'm glad of that. But that doesn't mean that trials are going to go away. It just means that this is the last time we're talking about it for a little while. But anyway, be that as it may. We've had, I think, several good sessions on trial. And James is one of the most practical books. And I really like reading the book of James, just getting refreshed in it from time to time. And so we've looked at abiding in trials. That was Tom's first one. We looked at abiding in wisdom, Tom's second one. And today, for our last session on trials, we're going to look at abiding in faith and the rewards that come with that. So how many of you are experiencing trials right now? All right, good. We've got some honest people in the audience. If you aren't, you will be shortly. Okay, that's how this works. My latest trial started about 2 weeks ago. So I may need a little bit of a, Kleenex up front here today, because I am going to share some pretty personal stories from the last couple of weeks. So here goes. Thank you, Mike. That's good. How about giving me the next slide? Okay. So my trial started out 2 weeks ago. And on the way to Fusion, I think I should have read this sign. Trials and tribulations ahead. It had nothing to do with Fusion. But on my way up, I received a call. It was a call from one of my siblings, and they said, Mom's not doing too hot. She's taken a turn for the worse. My mom was in a nursing home in a little northeast town, Nebraska, and I had seen her in September and didn't think she was that bad. But we knew some things were not going real well with Mom. So I kept monitoring things throughout Fusion. By Sunday, though, at noon, it was pretty obvious I needed to go. So we did leave early. We took off, headed back to Lafayette, basically did a bounce, so to speak, repack, pack, and go. Unpack, pack, and go. And so we headed out, and I knew some things weren't really too good with what was going on at home. There was obviously, from the sense of the phone calls, things were a little bit tense. So we arrived by Tuesday, about 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And when I walked in, I could really sense, yeah, things were pretty tense. There was a lot of issues that were going on. And so my sister took me aside and said, you know, there's some of us that are not real happy with what's going on here with my little brother. And I said, okay, well, let's just work through them. And so as the afternoon unfolded, it got worse and worse. And I could see that there was a lot of hurtful words that were being said, a lot of hurtful actions being carried out. And it was just a very distraught time. I wasn't quite sure what to do with it. I was really pretty shocked at what was happening. So as Mom lay dying, all of this was going on in the rooms around where she was at. Long and short of it, by the time we got to about 7 o'clock, the siblings decided to kick out my younger brother. They just told him to go home, don't come back. And I went, I can't believe this is going on. This is his mother just as much as my mother and your mother. But, you know, Kevin just up, picked up and left the place. And I was like, wow. I couldn't believe they'd done that to my brother. I was shocked. I was confused. I started crying out to God, like, what's going on here? I don't know what to do with this. So, you know, I'm going to share with you this morning some snippets of how things turned out. But the trial is still going on, so this is not something that's been resolved. But the Lord has given me some hope in the middle of it, and that's what I want to share with you this morning, too, that, you know, in the middle of your trials, there is hope. So kind of a recap. Tom talked about abiding in trials. And the point being in that one was, God wants to point us back to Him. In our trials, God wants us to be pointed back to Him. Tom's in the back making sure everything is being said correctly. I think I read your notes. Abiding in wisdom, God gives counsel to get us through our trials. That's where I began. My story with the trial I'm going through, I started crying out to God. I said, Lord, I need wisdom. I know that I can't handle this handful that's going on here. It's really pretty ugly. And so I just started crying out to God. So those are the first two. Today we come to the end of trials in a sense, but this is not the end of your trials. You're going to have some more. And so will I. But here's the point that we want to make today. Next slide. Trials affect everybody. So we're going to talk about that this morning. It doesn't matter what your station of life is. But that's not the main point. The main point is this, that enduring our trials in faith, that's how we get this, is by faith. By abiding in Christ brings us a reward both in this life and the life to come. And so God wants to give us a reward. Trials get us there, gain a reward. What I want to do now is I want to go to the several verses that we're going to look at this morning, James chapter 1, 9 through 12. And so you can follow along, and I'm going to read them. Hopefully I can read here. But this is what it says in James chapter 1, verses 9 through 11, and then verse 12 will be also on the next slide. But the brother of humble circumstances is to glory in his high position, and the rich man is to glory in his humiliation. Because like flowering grass, he will pass away. Sun rises with a scorching wind and withers the grass, and its flower falls off, and the beauty of its appearance is destroyed. So too, the rich man, in the midst of his pursuits, will fade away. And then verse 12 says, blessed is the man, happy is the man, who perseveres under trial, for once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love Him. God bless the reading of His Word. Let's just bow our heads and we'll pray for a minute or two, and then we're going to jump in here and get some good stuff out of these four verses. Lord, we pause just now. We're grateful, Lord, for Your Word. It gives us guidance. It gives us encouragement. It gives us hope. All the things that we need, Lord, working through trials. So God, I just pray that You'll bless us as we look at this passage of Scripture this morning and pull some good stuff out, Lord, for our lives. Help us to be focused on it, Lord, not to get distracted by some things that might be going on around us. Maybe a trial that we're going through right now. Just bless this time here in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so when I looked at these verses, I kind of pulled out three points to look this morning at for an overview. And those are, trials are universal. That's one. We're going to look at that. And then trials and faith are interrelated. We'll see how that hangs together. And then trials bring blessings. That's a good promise that we need. You know, we need to know that there's going to be some good stuff on the other end of this. So trials are universal. Trials and faith are interrelated, and trials bring blessings. Okay, so we're going to jump right in here. When we look at verses 9 through 11, first time I read this, I went, oh, James, you are such a jumper. You seem to go all over the place, and I can't figure out what you're talking about here. So here we are, we're talking about trials, and then suddenly he's talking about rich man, poor man. I don't know what he's dealing with. So I thought about it, I thought about it, and here's what I came up with for a connection. You know, trials are universal. Rich people have them, poor people have them. Doesn't matter your station of life. So here's some things to consider. When your trials affect rich and poor, they affect young and old. So boomers have trials. I'm a boomer. I have trials. How many millennials are in this room? There's a few of you who will admit it. Okay. And you have trials. Any Gen X? Ryan raised his hand. Oh, no. Wrong. But it doesn't matter how old or how young you are. You have trials. It doesn't matter whether you are undergrad or whether you're a grad student. You have trials. Grad students have maybe a little more trials than perhaps the undergrads do, but the undergrads wouldn't think that way until they get over on the other side. Is that right, Josine? Uh-huh. Yes, that's right. So, it doesn't matter your stage in life, but you know what? That's not really what's really important here. That's not the important point. Go to my next slide. What was James trying to say? So in the case of, I think, a poor man looks at the rich man and goes, well, he's got everything in life, and nothing touches him. He doesn't experience trials at all. And the rich man, he looks the other way and says, you know, wow, I got all these problems I got in my life, and this guy doesn't have anything to worry about, so he's, you know, his life is a happy man life. And so when we look at it, the bottom line here, the point that I think James is trying to say, is the things of this life will not get you through your trials. So here's what I wrote down. You can be rich and you can have all the toys in the world, the latest laptop, the latest apps, okay? Best cell phone there is. Okay? A huge bank account. And you can go on and on. But these will not help you avoid nor get through a trial. These things aren't what gets us through a trial. So when I went back and started looking at what was going on in my family situation, the first thing that came to my mind is, you know, I'm the oldest. Why aren't they listening to me? This is not the way to behave. But my position didn't matter anything at all. Second thing I thought of, my possessions, you know. Hey guys, God's blessed me. You know, it's obvious that, you know, the Lord has been really working in my life. Why don't you listen to me about what's going on here? Mom's laying there, she's dying. And she wouldn't like this family to be acting like this. But it didn't matter about my position. It didn't matter about my possessions. It didn't even matter about my prayers. I prayed with them on several occasions, and it seemed like it was just hitting, you know, the wall and bouncing off. Wow, you guys are treating this situation awful. And even though I had even scripture, you know, and a couple of my siblings professed Christ, they weren't acting very Christ-like. It really was disconcerting to me. My kids knew this was going on. They were reaching out to me. But man, I tell you, it was a tough time. This was a very tough time. So the question is, If the things of this life will not get me through my trials, what will get me through this? What will get me through my trials? Is there any hope? And James tells us that there is hope. James tells us actually there's two things that are important for us to get through trials. So here we go. It's not your money. It's not anything, all your technology or anything like that. What's going to get you through the trials is in verse 5 of James chapter 1. If any of you, and Tom talked about this, any of you lacks wisdom, ask God. Wisdom's one of the first things that will get you through it. The second thing that will get you through it is faith. Okay? Because we need to understand, and this is going to be your little precursor as we get started here. You need to understand, why does trials come into my life? And God allows trials in our life in order to teach us some things. There's some things that He wants you to learn and for me to learn. And I started to pick that up through the situation. You'll see where that goes in a minute or two. Faith, verse 6. Okay? Faith. And this is not saving faith. This is sustaining faith. There's a difference. There's a difference. We're not talking about saving faith here in James chapter 1. We're talking about a sustaining faith. A faith that looks and says, God, you allowed this into my life, and there's a reason for it, and I need to get on board with you and what's going on. And you know what? Let's just be honest. In the middle of some trials, it's really hard to deal with this. It's really hard to deal with this. So here's what I came up with. God strengthens our faith through the community of faith. Now, I don't think I have that written in your notes, but I want you to put it in your notes, and I want you to remember that like a peg in the wall. Don't forget this. Okay? God strengthens our faith through the community of faith. What got me through those couple of days in there when I was home like that were such individuals as my wife Penny. We had a lot of long talks, but not the kind of talk that maybe you would think about. We had talks about God and what God was doing here and how we needed to behave. I had a call in the middle of that week from Rory Whitney from Omaha just to pray with me. That really was a great uplifting motion to me. That action really strengthened my faith. I had a hug from town, and I had a hug from Yancifil, and I had a hug from Sarah. All of these folks reached out during that time, and that helped me to see the community of faith strengthens my individual personal faith. James says here that we need to persevere in our trials. What's the first thing we like to do when a trial comes into our life? I want to get out from underneath this. I want to leave this as quick as I can. I don't like this, and I want to be out of here. That's not what God wants. James tells us that. He says, bear up under. That's what perseverance means. He says, bear up under. Okay? So that thing is weighing on me, and I would like to throw it off, and I'm not going to throw it off. Because I want to see what God wants for my life in this situation. So we need to persevere. That's what we need to do, persevere. All right, let's go to the next slide here. So even though I want to get out from underneath this thing, God doesn't want that. He wants us to stay under it and stay in the trial because there's some things that He wants us to see. Faith enables me to pass the test. I thought that was very interesting. James 1 in this verse here in New American Standard says, approval. It actually is a word that means test. All right, so think of a trial as a test. So when you got a test coming up, anybody got a test coming up this week? One up here, two. So when you're going to do a test, you get a little concerned about things, that's for sure. I'm not sure I'll know everything that there is to know about the test. I'm not sure what the professor is going to ask. And how interesting it is that the analogy of trial is just right there. Because a trial is like that. God brings the trial into your life and you go, why, okay, I'm not sure where this is going. I'm not sure all of what I'm going to be asked to do. I'm not sure how this is all going to play out. And so you and I are like that in the middle of the test. But we take all of those questions and we answer them the best we can. We do the best we can on our test. And that's what God wants us to do, is to do the best you can in this test, but keep in touch with me. Keep the connection. What am I, you know, when I walk out of a test, it's been a long time since I walked out of one. Sorry, you know, grads, you know, just a little older than that. I don't have those anymore. But it's been a long time since I walked out of a test. And when I walked out, I was like, wow, that was good. That's great. I feel good. And you know, that's what happens in a trial. When you walk out of it, you feel good. You feel really great. It's over with. But you need to do a couple things. You need to rejoice before the Lord. And then you need to say, Lord, what did you want to teach me in this? What was it that I was supposed to learn in this? That's so important. Because that's what God's wanting to do. You put trials in the perspective of what God's doing in your life. You don't want to be out from underneath them because God is trying to teach you something. So I might not know all the questions, but I'll get through this. And I'll walk out happy because God has a promise. He has a promise. Is there hope in all of this? Yes, there is. Make sure I've covered everything here. Yeah, okay, let's go back and let's visit the story. So why was God allowing this to happen in my life? Why did God allow the family to basically fall apart, you know, for mom's sake? I don't know if I know all the answers, but I can say this much. God taught me a level of love that week that I hadn't known before. God taught me a level of love that week that I hadn't known before. It would have been very easy for me to, you know, and at one point, it almost became that way. They attacked my brother, and then they attacked my wife, and then they attacked me. So they were, you know, going after it all. What God showed me, though, is I needed to love. I needed to persevere through. Because I think what was going on is my brothers and my sister had no idea how to handle grief. And that's one of the things I've learned walking through my mother-in-law's death and now my mom's death, that grief demonstrates itself in a lot of different ways. And so sometimes it's anger. Sometimes it's, you know, cutting people off. Sometimes it's, you know, I can't remember. And I've seen Penny and I doing that on a couple occasions with all the stuff that we've been through. We'll just, you know, we just pull a brain apart and I don't know where it goes. But eventually it comes back. But God has a promise in working through this. And the promise is, I think in next one. For once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. And, okay, so what's he talking about here? What's this crown of life? What's he talking about? I think there's two aspects to the crown of life as you walk through trials. The first one's what I call short-term, and the second one I call long-term. In the short-term, Romans chapter 5, verses 3 and 4, and I'm not going to go there, but you can put those in your notes and you can look it up later. But in Romans chapter 5, verses 3 and 4, it talks about, you know, when you go through some tough times, you have a blessing from God. You get character. Okay? And that's what happened with me. Walking through that situation with my siblings, I learned love on a level that I've never known before. It was tough to be loving to them when I know that they were being vicious and being angry and showing all kinds of behavior that should not be, you know, in a family setting, especially with my mother lying there dying. That was so disappointing, so upsetting. But I learned love. I learned love. So there's character, there's maturity, there's insight into God's plan. God's plan is trials, folks. It is. Friends, that's what God is doing. He puts a trial in your life because there's a certain thing that He has in mind for you to do. And when you figure that out, you see what that trial is all about. He's putting something into your life. He's putting a skill or a character quality in your life that's going to bless others in the long run. Mm-hmm. And so I learned love on a level I've never learned before. But then there's a long-term benefit to a trial as well. It says the crown of life, and that's actually mentioned in Revelation 2:10. Someday my Jesus is going to come back. And if I've been faithful to the end, He's going to give me a crown of life. Now, I don't know what that looks like. You know, I can't visualize that. I don't know if I want to run around with a crown on my head, but I don't like wearing caps even much. But He's going to give me a crown of life. That's what He says. But we need to remain steadfast. We need to remain steadfast. Okay, so I have one concluding thought this morning. One concluding thought. Next slide. Nope, that's not it. Where did I get it? Should say, trials keep me from drifting. Is that not it? Yeah, there it is. Okay. This is a verse that I saw several years ago, and it really, really is good. The point being here is this. Trials keep me close as long as I have the right perspective to Jesus Christ. And what we're talking about in this whole series is abiding in Him. That's what this is all about. So here's Psalm 119, verse 67 from the NLT. I used to wander off until you disciplined me, but now I closely follow your word. Sometimes we just have a tendency to drift. And it's very easy for us to drift away. Trials are meant to keep you from drifting away from God. God wants to keep you close. God wants you to snuggle up with Him. Okay? Put that in your notes. God wants you to snuggle up with Him. So how does this all fit together? Well, you go back to John chapter 15 in last semester when we were talking about abiding in Him. One of the first things we learned in verse 2 of chapter 15 is that Jesus prunes us. And that's nice to know that up here. But when it starts to work down in here, folks, this is not fun sometimes. This is not easy sometimes. Jesus wants you to bear fruit. And one of the ways that He does that is trials in your life. He strips you down. He gets rid of the junk in your life so that you can be a branch for Him that's going to bear fruit for Him. And so the trial comes into your life, and probably you may have been straying. Maybe you've done some things that you shouldn't be doing, or that you went out here where you're walking away from Him, and that trial going right back in. It brings you right back in. You know? Said, I used to drift away, but now you discipline me, and I am learning to stay close. That's what this is all about. Abiding in Him is staying close to Him. And when I stay close to Him, then I start to bear fruit for Him. So that's what God wants. So back to my trial. So the morning of the funeral, sat down, it might be still time. And I said, okay, God, what's the word for the day? He says, well, I want you to look at Mark 10:44. I said, okay. I remember that when Jesus said, I came to serve, not to be served. And you know, Jesus served people in some pretty rough situations in which they really didn't care for him, and they really didn't love him, and they really weren't on board with him. And I thought, wow, this is kind of important. And so I paid attention. I said, what do you got in mind, O God? And he said, the word for you today is serve. So as you go this morning, you're going to go serve your siblings, no matter what they're doing, no matter what their attitudes is, no matter what their actions are, you're going to serve them. And so serve I did. I had a joy in my life, I think, that day. It was one of those things where, you know, I think from my perspective is this, guys. I wasn't expecting anything out of them. I was giving, and that's what serving is, I'm giving. Expectations are things that will destroy a relationship. And so I gave those expectations up to God. I said, I'm just going to serve people. So as I went to the funeral, I basically did everything I could to serve my siblings and to honor my mom for that day. So if my sister needed flowers moved, I moved the flowers. My sister needed something done, I went ahead and did it. There's cousins I hadn't seen in 40, 50 years, and I just spent time with them and enjoyed their company. I found out about them. I wasn't about me, I was about them. So I talked, I listened, I encouraged. Because, you know, some of them are going through some tough times as well. So I walked out of there that day. I was pretty spent. I won't kid you, I was pretty spent. After a long week of emotions up and down and all over the place. But I was confident that my God had me do what he wanted me to do. And I left the results up to him. It wasn't me. I did ask my God, I said, so what am I going to do here with the situation? And the word that came back to me was reset. I realized, having dealt with a lot of the issues that we've had to deal with, my mother-in-law and my mom, over the last several years, the relationships between us siblings had kind of drifted. And so I said, reset. So I told Penny, I said, when I come back, we'll get ourselves kind of back together. And then we're going to do this. I'm going to start calling my brothers and my sister, and I'm going to talk to them. And the Lord gave me a question to ask. What would it take to heal our family? I'm going to ask each of them that question. What would it take for Kevin to come back? Kevin, what would it take for you to come back? And I'm just going to open my hand. I'm not going to hold my hand like this to try to say that I'm going to try to solve this problem. Open my hand and just say, Lord, you take this situation. I'm going to offer it to you. What do you want it to? How are you going to deal with this? And maybe, guys, maybe there's not going to be a healing in this situation. That could very well be. But I'm just going to trust God for the results. I'm going to let him take care of it. So, last slide. Trials affect everybody. Enduring our trials by abiding in Christ brings us a reward, both in this life and the life to come. So trials are universal. We all have them. Not going to escape them. You're not going to escape them for the rest of your life on this earth. You're probably thinking, boy, that's a pessimistic thing to say this morning. But there's an optimistic side of it, guys, and this is where it's at. You recognize that if you have a trial, there's an indicator there this morning. That indicator is that God loves you, and he's engaged in your life. If you don't have a trial, or you haven't had a trial recently, maybe you should talk to God about that. So trials are an indicator that God wants to engage in your life. He loves you very much. And he wants to build some things into your life. He wants you to look just like him. And that's oftentimes what the trials are all about, is looking like him. Faith, seeing it like that, faith will get me through a trial. So rather than saying, Lord, get me out of this mess, Lord, help me to bear up under this mess. And trials bring lessons. The greatest blessing, guys, is this: staying close to Jesus. never letting go, snuggling up day after day for the rest of your life. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you this morning for this message. Yeah, we don't enjoy trials. They bring some pretty much painful situations in my life, in our lives at times. However, Lord, we want very much to see our trials in the light of what you see them. What is it that you're trying to do in our lives? In the life of our church, what are you trying to do? So I pray, God, that you will use, that we'll be able to use the trials in our lives to see the blessing and to bear fruit for you and to abide in you and stay close to you throughout every day, every week, every year that we have left on this earth. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.